is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Ori.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And next up, Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. Let's bring them on to reintroduce themselves, the show, and what's up for today.
Hi, welcome to Eyes Wide Open. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence. We hold the power of perception, and this power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, the seen and the unseen. Hi, I'm Janessa Finley-Ford. I'm one of your hosts today. I utilize energy psychology, mindset alignment, and functional medicine to help my clients reprogram their brains, process their emotions, and learn the art of being human. And SJ is joining me here today.
Hi, everybody. I'm SJ. I'm a certified crystal healer and shamanic earth and energy medicine practitioner, really marrying together old ancient wisdoms to those of new age concepts like quantum physics. And we always start out our show with a funny story, but before we get into that, I do want to say this is a call-in, so you get to call us, chat with us about how the Enneagram can play out. So if you're wanting to call in, though, I believe that the call-in number might be listed incorrectly on the site, so I'm just going to reiterate what our call-in number is so you can join us live. It is 646-595-4274. Also, we do have that listed in our Facebook page on the Stronger Together Fall in Love with You site as well, so you can find that call in there within the event as well. But with that, let's talk about a funny story that I would like to share. So to lay the groundwork for this, I have a family of lots of dogs. And one of them is white, and the rest of them are black and brown mixes of dogs. So to lay out that groundwork, that's what we're working with the dogs in my population. One of my dogs, her name is Daisy. She is not always the sharpest tool in the shed. She's also a little bit sassy, and she has this thing where she'll oftentimes bark and then pretend possibly will actually bite if some random person or even people she knows will try to pick her up that is not me. My husband has never had this problem with her until a couple days ago, though, when he tried to pick her up to put her outside. She definitely didn't want to go outside, nor did she need to go outside. It's also funny to me because both of these two are Enneagram 9s, so the 9 way of interacting with conflict is always hilarious to me. But he went to pick her up. She did this weird thing where she was going to bark, so she acted all sorts of crazy and then was going to bite him, to which she did not get the reaction from him that she gets from most people of just leaving her alone. So he continued to pick her up. As he gets to the door to put her outside, he puts her outside and says, "I'm not going to have any white privilege in my house." And I died. I died with how the Enneagram can play out, and also just the reaction of how our pups themselves, you know, can play into this. And my husband, I feel like all 9s in general, are insanely hilarious too. So that's our funny story. Back to the Enneagram expert, which is Janessa.
So the Enneagram 9s, they, like, death at all, right? Until they explode like a grenade because their emotion that drives them is anger. So you see that with, like, Daisy snapping at him and then his response of tossing her outside.
and being hilarious at the same time. But you did hear her correctly when she has typed her dog, her dog's personality. I actually have done the same. My dog is clearly an Enneagram 6. She is safety first in every way possible. She's very timid. And I adore my brother, who on many occasions has actually poked fun at both SJ and I for applying the Enneagram to our animals. But the Enneagram is our spiritual personality type. If there's a personality involved, why can't it apply? And like all things we discuss here, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Like, there is no way that she's an 8 or a 4. So one of the greatest gifts, there's so many great gifts about the Enneagram, but for funny stories, like the Enneagram is the humor that keeps on providing humor. So as we introduce you, walk you more into this personality typing system, I want to share another, well, I have a couple of stories. They're both pretty funny. One involves FJ and I together. We were at a restaurant for lunch, and FJ's an Enneagram 7. I'm an Enneagram 1. So FJ is like, there's resolution and conflict. Conflict is good. I want what I want when I want. I'm an outside-the-box thinker. I'm flexible. I'm free-flowing. I'm go with the flow. I'm an optimist. The one, we want things a little bit better every day. We're very inflexible. We're scheduled. We're routine. We want efficiency. And then we were joined with an Enneagram 3, and they tend to wear the mask and tell people what they want to hear until they do their personal work. And this Enneagram 3 had for sure done their personal work. And so she is very honest all the time. She can stand in her truth, speak it gloriously. And then the Enneagram 6, that safety first, security and safety is what they're always seeking in the world. And so the Enneagram 6 shared that they had eye macular degeneration diagnosis. And so SJ, with her optimism, is like, oh, no problem. And knowing that an Enneagram 6, the anxiety is really going to flare if you say something such as, oh, that's not good or whatever. So I chime in and I'm like, well, everything is healable. It's a belief. I believe that. I'm not lying. I'm standing in my integrity and adding something positive to the situation. And then the Enneagram 3 joined in and they were like, oh, that's not good. And Esther and I about fell out of our chairs laughing simply because we knew that the dynamic of, you know, the Enneagram 6, this was going to cause a lot of anxiety. And the Enneagram 3 being able to stand in their truth the one time that they wouldn't actually say what it is the other person would want to hear might have been a little bit triggering for that person to receive that information. And then the Enneagram 3, as we're hysterically laughing, she's like, what did I say? Not understanding the full dynamics of everything and how ironically beautiful it was for her to speak her truth in that situation and also wanting to calm the anxiety waters of the Enneagram 6. And anyone else that was around us or would have heard that exchange definitely would not have understood the sheer humor in everyone playing their programming or transcending their programming and stepping outside that norm. One other Enneagram story I really, really enjoyed, Enneagram 9. So person was working in construction, had their own business, very, very, very talented, very successful. And that passive aggressiveness of a 9, though, the homeowner for the project he is working on had ground the gears just a little bit too far for this Enneagram 9. And so we were talking about the ways that the client was getting in his own way and identifying this passive aggressive pattern.
And then he was telling me about his frustration from the day with this individual and their criticism and whatever. And so he proceeds to tell me that he cut the window frame intentionally, just a little bit off. So, like, the project wasn't going to be square. Like, you had to look closely to see that it was crooked, but it wasn't flush. It wasn't actually going to, like, seal up this project and make it nice and tidy. And he did it on purpose, and he's like, I hope that he just stands there and stares at it all night and is super annoyed. And he's like, I'm going to fix it tomorrow. But in the meantime, like, this is the little passive aggressiveness of the Enneagram 9, just to get their little self-expression of what they repress, because we don't want conflict. We don't want to straight up tell them that they need to, you know, back off, chill out. No, no. We are just going to make the cut a little bit off. So also, I had mentioned that we were planning on having a guest this evening. I just wanted to acknowledge this so none of you think that I lead you astray. There were some scheduling issues with her, and unfortunately, she's not able to join us here this evening, but stay tuned. We do plan on having her on in a future episode. So with that, let's take our first caller. Bob, are you there?
That's better. Talking. I'm unmuted now.
Okay, now we can hear you. I don't know if you were sharing any information before, but we have you live now. How are you, Bob?
Yeah, it was good. I was just waiting for that. You are now unmuted.
Oh, yes.
Where
are you calling in from, Bob?
The Whitsunday Islands in Australia. So if you look at the map of Australia, around about 2 o'clock on the coast. So that's where I am. And it's another beautiful day in paradise. And it's 12 minutes past 8 in the morning on, what day is it?
Thursday. It's got to be Thursday where you are. I think you're always a day ahead of us, technically.
Yes, I am your future. Dun, 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 dun.
Touché.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I don't know why I called in. I just love calling in and talking to like-hearted people. For me, it's like, because we're all sovereign, unique, and equal, for me, everybody holds a piece of the puzzle. So, you know, you've got your piece and I've got my piece. And just by sharing our stories, we help to heal each other. So what is your particular area of expertise? In healing, and what are you picking up from me? You know, I'll give you an example. You know, I'm 71 now, and I started my healing journey in 1984, and I've never had more zest for life than I do right now. You know, my life is absolutely awesome, and I think it comes down to I set my life purpose to be to find my own truth, but my life mission, the mission I'm on, is to eradicate suicide, and I know it's doable because, I've been down that road and found a way out, and if I can do it, anybody else can. But it's my mission. I found my mission, and it's given me such a zest for life. It's amazing. I just want to live forever, you know.
I love this mission. Thank you for sharing. Do you mind sharing a little bit more about how you're moving toward eradicating suicide with your tools and gifts?
Yeah, well, I've got books on Amazon and videos on YouTube. And I'm not promoting the sales of them. They just tell my story. But for me, I've come to the conclusion that everything that is labeled as a mental illness, for me, there is no such thing as a mental illness. And this is just a scam that started in about 1880 with the birth of psychiatry and psychology. Now, for me, depression, my first panic attack in 1984, November, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, my arms and legs are thrashing around all over the place. And yeah, it scared the shit out of my wife, and I wasn't too happy with it. But that was the, for me, that was the onset of my journey with depression, which resulted in me being addicted to antidepressants for over 20 years, until I finally realized that I couldn't think my way out of this. I had to feel my way out. And so for me, where I am now, to give an analogy, I was born as a magical, wondrous little human being, you know, where the world was awesome and inspiring, you know. But at that time, I was born with my basic operating system in place, you know, to make sure that all my bits are working, I could breathe and all my senses were working. But my mind was like a blank hard drive. And as I went through life, more programs got loaded into that hard drive. And the more as I absorbed more programs, my programs created my beliefs. Now, I know within me, in my heart of hearts, there is an inner knowing of what it means to be human and what it means, what my purpose is during this physical existence, is to be magnificent. But all these programs and these changing beliefs were actually moving me away from my heart-centered truth until the distance got so far that my body just went whack. And that was my body's way of telling me, Bob, you're living your programming. You've got to get out of the mind, get back into the heart, find the truth and live it. And so that's what I did. And healing the wounds of childhood in the early 90s was the most powerful work I've ever done. But I'm still on a journey. And I'll give another explanation of why I think there's no such thing as mental illness. You take ADHD, you know. When I was a little kid, you know, sitting in the classroom, I was bobbing up and down in my chair, you know, because I didn't want to be sitting down. My body and my body always knows what it needs. My body wanted to be out running around playing cowboys and Indians or, you know, running through the forest. So, of course, I wasn't paying attention. And so our system, you know, this crazy system that we support, because a kid is not paying attention, it's an illness. It's not. It's that person denying, not honoring the body and letting the body do what it needs to do. So let the kid go and run, get the energy out, and sit it back down when it's tired, and then it will pay attention. And the other one, the example that I use, is PTSD. Now, for me, within my inner knowing, my inner humanness, if you like, the ultimate wound of the soul for me would be to actually take the life of another human being. And yet, through programming in Western societies, you know, since time immemorial, it's been an honorable thing to do to go to another land and take the life of somebody that looks like you. Now, for me, that is the ultimate wound of the soul. And if you carry out that action through your programming, or you witness that action, there is a price to pay. And that price manifests in the behavior of the person that's actually been a party to it. And so our veterans, you know, come back from these crazy wars that are all pointless because they're all bankers' wars. And what they're expressing in the real world is just payback for not living their truth, you know, and living this programming. And so, yeah, couple of quick facts, you know, like since 1880, no psychiatrist or psychologist has ever claimed to have healed anyone. They can't because they only deal with the mind, and they won't because if they did, they'd be out of business in a week. So that whole mental illness thing is a scam, and you can do your own research. You know, don't shoot the messenger. But I've been researching this since 1984, and the biggest fear I had when I had my panic attack was how powerful these feelings were that I was having, and I was so afraid of them. But on looking back and knowing now that my feelings are my healings, the power of those feelings that I was having are simply a measure of how powerful I am as this magnificent human being. And so for every wound, every moment of terror that I experienced as a child, for me, became absorbed into my body. They became body memories. And it wasn't until I allowed my body, and luckily I was living on my boat at the time, allowed my body to release all those decade-old wounds, those body memories, that I was free of all that childhood trauma. And doing the work with John Bradshaw, of healing the wounds of my childhood. But that, you know, there is hope out there. And I know it's a big mission, but my word is spreading. And I know it's a dangerous path, because if my message does get out and become common knowledge, well, it's the end of Big Pharma. It's the end of psychiatry, and it's the end of psychology. But yeah, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. It's what's driving me. So thanks for letting me talk a lot, and I can talk for much longer, but I'll shut up now unless you want me to say more.
I love that you shared all of that. Thank you. And you're not going to be shy as the messenger. You are joining two messengers who agree with much of what you say. SJ, do you want to jump in and start?
Sure. So first, I love about mid of part of that story, Bob, you said two things. One being you learned that you couldn't think your way out of it. You had to feel your way out of it. And I love how you really tapped into what I believe is your core Enneagram personality structure and moving into a growth point as well of coming and dropping down from your head and logic, knowing all of the things, coming up with all of the logical reasons why something can or can't work, and jumping down into that heart space of, I have to be able to feel this to move through it. I have to give validation to my emotions. And Enneagram 5, 6s, and 7s are all head points, and we really love to think our way through things. That's what feels the most normal. The easiest for us is to logic our way into it, and we come to a place in our life where we learn that knowing everything, thinking our way through it, isn't going to get us to where we want to be, and we really have to tap into that space where we acknowledge our feelings and also the power that they hold. In the beginning, you asked kind of what our areas of expertise are. Janessa, by far and large, is the Enneagram expert. I, however, focus a lot within my crystal healing and also the energy, earth and energy medicine practices on trapped selves. So just what you were talking about, too, like with the PTSD, those trapped selves can come into place. I focus a lot with releasing those emotions that are tied up in there. But also, when we're talking about mental illness, ADHD, genetic paranoia, bipolarism, schizophrenia, all of those things, there is typically past life energetics and also perhaps genetic, ancestral things going on there as well, which I truly believe they're all energy. It's all just energy, and energy can always be shifted or changed or transformed into something that is of a higher vibration. So that's really where my area of expertise lies. But Janessa, I'm sure you're going to fill us in on this Enneagram, which is the focus of this show. So I'm going to pass it back over to you to talk to Bob a little bit more about what you're seeing within these patterns, too.
Can I respond to what you said?
Yes, absolutely. Please respond. Yeah. Please.
Yeah. How can I put it? I've got hundreds of these. I call them insight posters or memes, but there's one from one of my books. My mind is just a tool that I use when I choose, for I'm so much more than my mind. And then another one is, my mind is always looking for answers, but my heart already knows. And for me, there is a strong distinction, totally different, between knowledge and knowing. Knowledge is something that the mind acquires, but through, within the silence of my heart, I have found a place I call my knowing, and my knowing has no words. And it's there that resides my connection to Source, God of creation, but it's also my connection to the Akashic records. And so that's where I get my inspiration, through my burgeoning connection to the universal library of all that there is to know. And again, the pursuit of knowledge, like, I love the Bible. It's a great mythology. There's, and like all mythologies, there's some nuggets in there. And I like the way where it says, Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Well, not my garden. Sorry, Eden's my surname. they were cast out of paradise for eating from the tree of knowledge, which just says to me that, like, the pursuit of knowledge, the headspace stuff, it was the original sin. So, and my life, I drive my life under two principles. One is the KISS principle, keep it simple, sovereign, because I found that the words I choose to use create my reality. And the second principle is the SUE principle, something I coined about 15 years ago, SUE, we are all sovereign, unique, and equal, and everything else flows from that. And both of those principles reside under the umbrella of integrity, because without personal integrity, none of this magic that I experienced in my life would have ever manifested. You know, if I could lie to myself, I could lie to anybody. Okay, I'll shut up now. But, over to you. Da-da-da-da!
So what about the gut center, Bob? Do you tap into the third intelligence center of your gut? So you talked about the heart and the head.
Yeah, well, for me, my heart is my only compass, and my inner tuition is my only guide. And about 15 years ago, I actually bet my life on trusting my gut feeling. Would you like to hear that little story?
Sure.
Yeah. I was on my boat, Fidelio, in Pioneer Bay. It was about 7:30 at night, so it's dark, dark here up in the tropics. The bay is surrounded by mangrove trees where crocodiles live. It's after dark, so the crocs are out and the sharks are out feeding. And I was down below in my boat in the tropics on my dog's Facebook page, actually. So I'm sitting there naked, typing away, and all of a sudden the lights went dim and I couldn't breathe. So I peered over to the voltmeter and it said 13 volts. So that was okay. And then just to the left of my vision was this wispy black spirally presence. And I kept turning my head to the left, but couldn't bring it into focus. And then I thought, oh no, hello, old friend. I thought it was all over Red Rover. The Grim Reaper had come to claim me. So I'm still sitting there and I can't breathe. And so I typed into Facebook, hey guys, if I don't post anything in the next half an hour, can you get Volunteer Marine Rescue to come out and get Barnaby? Because I thought I was going to die. And if I died, there'd be nobody to feed Barnaby. So, like, after he'd eaten me, he would die. So that's why. And so I'm still sitting there. And I don't know about you, but these moments of near-death experience, time is irrelevant, you know. So I'm sitting there, dum-da-dum, dum-da-dum, still not breathing. What can I do here? What can I do here? Dum-da-dum. So I just sat there and let my body take over. So I climbed up the stairs, got up on deck, and I look up to the sky. and I could see two full moons. And then I just let my body do what I wanted to do. So I leapt into the bay. Remember, there's crocodiles about and sharks about, bugger the sharks. And so I threw myself into the bay and rolled over onto my back and spread out like a great big starfish. And then all of a sudden I went, and I was breathing again. And that was the night I consciously chose to bet my life on trusting my intuition, my inner intuition. That was my rite of passage. Wow.
Wow, that's an incredible journey to get to that place. I appreciate you sharing that. I think we all have experienced the school of hard knocks, if you will, or learning something in a less than favorable fashion. And sometimes that's good to be anchored into perspective of what someone else has experienced. Like, we're all given the skills and tools that we need for what we experience, but what someone else experiences can really cultivate deep gratitude for our own personal journey. So I love, like, in dialoguing with you and hearing so much information about you and so many of the experiences that you've had and your points of view, the fact that you have been on this healing journey, I believe you said, since 1974, which is a grip of years. Like, you have been on your healing journey, quite honestly, longer than I have been alive. And it's very apparent, because a lot of the programming from a personality standpoint that people would fall into, you have transcended that. There are a couple of things that I hear within your explanation and perspective about things that I think would be really supportive of you, is leaning into the belief that you are divinely protected in the mission you've been given. And I don't think that you're on a dangerous mission. I completely agree with your point of view about pharmaceutical companies and the influence of why our systems work the way that they work. But I do believe that we are in this time that I would refer to as a fourth turning, where we're going to see a lot of evolution. And if we don't, then we're going to really reinforce the path that we're on, and things likely won't evolve much at all.
What gives me great hope is, since the 21st of December 2012, we have been entering what the Mayans call the Age of Integrity. And if you remember back to 2012, there was this big global panic. Oh, the Mayans said the world's going to end, blah, blah, blah. No, they didn't say the world was going to end. They said that an era was ending, an age was ending, and the age that was ending was the age of power. And so since 2012, we have the Age of Integrity coming along, sliding over the age of power. And so wherever I look around the world, I see evidence of that. More and more people are going within, finding their inner truth, and standing on it, and talking about it, and living it, and working it, and doing it. And so the evolution of consciousness is exponential, for me anyway, and we have just turned the corner. So if you think life is wild at the moment, hang on for a wild ride. It's going to be amazing, and I just feel so blessed to be alive at this time, because for me, the ascension of humanity is inevitable. We are going up, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. You know, all this craziness in the world, it's easy to explain. It's just the beast is dying. It knows it's dying. The age of power, the beast is dying. And it's just becoming more and more frantic in its final death throes. So sit back, grab the popcorn, enjoy the show, because where we're going, It's just absolutely, absolutely magnificent. You know, we have won. We have won this battle, the spiritual war between good and evil. It's all over, except that, you know, we're just about to see the credits roll on their old movie. But that, and that's what gives me so much hope for the future. We are heading for an absolute golden age of existence. I feel that in my body.
I agree. Sometimes looking around, what we see in the physical can really cause us to question what we intuitively know to be true. So I had jotted down one other note when you had asked, like, what do you pick up with you? The other mindset to lock in is kind of what you just spoke to, though, really. Like, people are really ready and capable to hear your message. And I think the growth edge is that sense of safety to do what you're doing. People are ready. The world is evolving. The systems are shifting. And the strongholds that have been in place. I mean, there's a message being sent to us of what they want us to believe, but when you live in the real world and don't do the social distancing and lose connection with people, what people actually believe is different than what media wants us to believe people believe.
Yeah, I think we, and I hate using the term we, but we are the mainstream media. You know, that stuff that goes out on the TV or the television is just the lies of the beast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one little stumbling block that you might be able to shed some light on. Now, I lost my home, my boat, in 2017 to Cyclone Debbie. Lost everything. And I haven't been back out on the water since. And yet I've got a little speedboat here that I've rebuilt, and it's all ready to go. But I'm sort of reluctant to get back out on the water. And also, I've got this model aeroplane that I would love to fly, but I'm reluctant to take it out in case I crashed it. So, you know, there's these little signposts that are saying, you know, there's a fear there. And I don't know where that fear is coming from. And I just get the idea that I should just go for it. But something's holding me back, and I don't know what that is.
Yes, fear is one of those very interesting things, too, that can have a couple of roots of origin. There's a couple things, Bob. I definitely would love to know what books you have out there and also your YouTube channel. If you would want to connect with us after this call by emailing us at strongertogethercoaching@yahoo.com, I would love to tap our community into what you already have out there and, you know, have put years of heart and soul into as well. Fear specifically, though, because there are multiple origins, I would love to have that conversation within our Stronger Together community, too, which you can find those links as well to join us and really tap into. Is that fear a root from the Enneagram? Is it from a trap self? Is it ancestral? Is it genetic? Heck, is it even yours, Bob? There are so many things that it could be that joining us within that Stronger Together community is the perfect place to discern that and also connect into a couple of techniques that we use in there all of the time, muscle testing being one of them, and pendulum being the other, to really bypass our cognitive mind and really get into the root of that intuition and connect in with a tangible technique as well. And you can find those links to join us, Bob, at fiercelyradiantsoul.com or crystallinecurrents.com as well. It has seriously been a pleasure having you share your wealth of knowledge here with us, and we would love to connect with you after the show as well.
Okay, so... while I'm looking for your website, do me the honor of finding me on Facebook. And my name is Bob Eden, E-D-E-N. And I'm the one that is sailing in paradise. So where do I get your links from? Can I get them from the News for the
Let
Soul?
Let me make sure I have that right, Bob. So Bob Eden, E-D-E-N, on Facebook is where we can connect with you. Was that okay? Perfect. So I've got that down. You can find our links at fiercelyradiantsoul.com.
Spiritually.
Fiercely. F-I-R. Fiercely.
Sorry?
C-E-L-Y. F-I-E-R.
C-E-L. Oh, fiercely.
Fiercely, like a fighter. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Fiercely Radiant Soul. .com. And our email links can be found at that site as well so that we can connect afterwards.
Great, great. Yep.
Yeah,
thank
and we're also
so
on
much.
News for the Soul, so you can find those links on News for the Soul if you're used to looking at the profiles there as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure Nicole would point me in the right direction.
Yeah, I just found you on Facebook too. So Janessa Finley Ford, there's a request. We'll get all synced up and connected here and continue to share information
Great.
And resources.
Great. Keep it simple, sovereign. Yay!
That's right. Thank you so much for calling in. It was such a joy to connect with you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Synchronicity rocks, doesn't it?
It really
sure
does.
It was magic.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we only have a few more minutes, but I also wanted to explore the Enneagram pairings that we had model for us growing up in our household. So a clearer way of saying that is, what were your parents' Enneagram type? And what did you observe by seeing them interact in their relationship, not knowing the Enneagram?
Lord. Well, I'll kick that off. My parents, my mom is an Enneagram 6. My dad is also an Enneagram 7, wing 8, which I feel is really important because 7 wing 8s appear to me to be very different than 7 wing 6s. That's getting a little bit in the weeds.
For sure.
But I feel like those are two very different personalities, even though it's still the same 7 type. Like, that wing makes a huge difference in how they present and honestly move through life, I feel like. So what I noticed growing up without knowing anything about the Enneagram was my dad was really good in crisis situations, could, you know, talk his way out of any battle should he have needed to. Very outgoing, very outspoken, definitely was a knowledge seeker too, always constantly watching History Channel, trying to figure out all of the things, reading, you know, lives on the internet, I feel like, to search, even to this day, to learn more about topics. Whereas with my mom, she was very much like seeking the family unit, the community. She wanted everybody to just get along and be part of a relationship, even if they perhaps weren't functioning extraordinarily well within each other. She also was a little bit escapist when it would come to conflict in the house, and would almost shove it down like it wasn't real, or would create a separate alternative reality, a false reality, and create stories that really weren't fitting into real life. So that's kind of what I experienced. I also experienced my dad with a lot of addictions, which I think sevens, I'm a seven, so I'm speaking for myself. If for no one else, I think we are willing to try just about anything and then take it to the extreme no matter what it is that we're doing. So I think that's something that as sevens we really kind of have to pay attention to. So that was my experience with my two parents, not knowing the Enneagram at all.
So ironically, I feel as though I'll call myself out on this. My parents, my dad's a 1, my mom's a 7, my brother's a 5. My business partner, SJ, she's a 7, I'm a 1. my spouse is a 7 and a 1. I swear to you guys out there listening, I can get along with other Enneatypes aside from the 7. I truly can. I do feel as though there are 2 Enneatypes that probably challenge me the most in reminding myself of their point of view. It doesn't come as intuitively or naturally. But it's interesting, while we have the same personality type and dynamics, my parents' relationship and my relationship is very different. Although my husband has said at certain times, especially like the inflexible side of the Enneagram 1, right? Like we want to do things in a structured sort of way. And he'll say things like, well, I see that you're like your dad, but that's not how our relationship is going to work. And I'm like, you're right. I am like my dad. Like we have the exact same Enneatype. Of course, I'm exactly like him. It's not because I'm trying to assert dominance in our relationship or embody the masculine role. Like I'm just being me the way I'm wired to be. I saw my dad definitely live the efficiency of the Enneagram 1 and not necessarily understand different paces of people. So with my brother being the Enneagram 5, they only have so much energy given every day. And so my brother would go at a different pace because he had, you know, had to conserve his energy all day long. Like none of us knew this at that time. We didn't know what the Enneagram was. I also can remember doing different tasks with my mom, chores, those kinds of things. And she would just be amazed. She's like, wow, how do you get so many things done? So that the 7 mind, and SJ could speak more clearly to this if we were to go into detail, but the 7 mind is more scattered. They'll go from idea to idea to idea to idea. And mom would emulate that. And then on the opposite side of that, I am the efficiency person, not necessarily because I was doing a thorough job, by the way, either. Like, come on, when it comes to dusting, can we just say the house is dusted good enough? Because I want to go ride my bike or watch TV or do something, anything other than dusting the house, please. But I would be very, very efficient, like a good little Enneagram 1. And so those are some of the biggest, like, standout programming things that I watched within our household. And I, like, my parents did an amazing job of the things that they would disagree on. I didn't see that play out in front of us very often. So those things were really like the adult things were the adult things, and they dealt with the adult things on adult time. So I really, really wish I could talk more about like the conflict of the 7 and the 1 that can potentially wing into the 9 that dies with conflict, because I definitely experienced that until I did some personal growth work. The 2 of the helper, my dad for sure is like, how can I help? I'm totally here to help. Definitely lives that out well as that 1 wing 2, since we're briefly talking 2s. But the Enneagram is such a masterful content of wisdom to integrate into our relationships for an understanding of how other people see the world. What makes them tick, what motivates them, what fears they have, so we're not invalidating the things that they, helping them get out of their way with the specific fears that they hold, and just having harmony, you know, accepting each other, being an allowance for who they are. It is a great tool. I can't say that enough. In fact, every time I talk about it, I say it over and over and over again.
Yeah, and like in retrospect, looking back, had I known anything about the Enneagram and my parents at that time, it would have made so much sense to me why, even from like a punishment stance, I loved how my dad was with punishment, because it was like, hey, here's the problem, super factual, here's what's up, here's your grounding, like here's your punishment, great, go away. There was nothing more to it. There wasn't even much of like a chat, an explanation. There was certainly no ranting. Versus, you know, my mom, who had to really explain it a lot of times over and over again for me to grasp it for her, I guess. But really it was her seeking out that, hey, like, here's the whole problem. Let's talk about every scenario that could have played out, and also in our mind plan for what would have happened within that. And let's also just make sure that you really understand all of those 1,000 different endings that could have happened, which it was her Enneagram 6 playing out in, like, let's plan out for worst case scenarios, but let's also lean into all of the, I would call it pessimistic, because it murdered my Enneagram 7 optimism, all of the bad things that could have happened that didn't happen and have less than a 1% chance of happening, by the way, at best. But, you know, had I known, like, I could have navigated that even as a child so much easier by giving her the safety that she was really seeking. One, the safety, but also the, like, hey, I'm still here. We're still, you know, a family. Everything's good. And we could have moved forward from that so much quicker rather than leaning into my personality type, which we are born with, my friends, and really being conflicting with it. Like, let's fight about this. I'm just going to say the opposite of what you say, because I see that's irritating you. And in some weird sense, this is fun for me. Let me just stress you out. As a kid, you know, like, there's just so much that would have been so much easier to navigate had I known what those were. And, you know, as a mom now who had, my husband is a 9, I think I've said this before on the show, but my husband's a 9, my daughter's an Enneagram 1, and my son is an Enneagram 7. The way our family dynamics work is so freaking amazing, because we all know the Enneagram, every single one of us, and we seriously lean into it in everything that we're doing as well. And also, while we're leaning into this Enneagram, we are going to have a worksheet. We're going to have a workshop the last Thursday of this month. You guys are the first to know. That event will be up by tomorrow. So you can find that event at crystallinecurrents.com or at fiercelyradiantsoul.com as well, to join us for a free Enneagram workshop and lean into what all of these things actually mean.
Yes, if you go to Eyes Wide Open on fiercelyradiantsoul.com, you can find the link there to register and to grab your seat, if you will, and have all of the information for the live event and also replay, and we'll have it out on social media tomorrow. So if you're interested in what your type is, what it is, this experience of refining your personality that is not permanent, and learning more about the Enneagram, we invite you to join us there in that event. And tomorrow we also bring our gifts together in the Stronger Together community. SJ and I will be having our second live call of the month of August for that community. And we're focusing on emotions, processing our emotions, because processing our emotions comes in the doing, and we all repress our emotions in our own way or repress our ability to process them. And so we are going to support that community with being able to learn what the emotions have to offer them, gain that wisdom, and then step back into their place of power, critical thinking, their knowingness, and be able to troubleshoot and move forward in life. It's such a valuable tool for being able to continue your personal development journey into a higher level of consciousness. So we would love to have you there if you're interested in that. You can also find that on either one of our websites or the Newts for the Soul website that has our information as well. Or if you have questions, reach out to us. We would be happy to answer any questions that you have, because you get a lot more than just those calls. There's a lot of courses on the platform for you as well, a Boxer community for live support throughout the week. And so there is a lot to experience within that community. So with that, we're going to wrap it up. And we will see you back here next week at the same time. And in the meantime, friends, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.